Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
You know, the leaves. What's up? What's up? What's up? It is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. What's going on, everybody? Great to be here today, as always, and I don't know. I tell you what, the markets have dried up. The Fed is getting their wish. They have taken away the free market system and the price discovery model, and they're sticking it up our ass. Just as they had planned, if you go back and look to 1913 and check out their views, and of course, you know, the unintended consequences of all this is simple. Okay. Number one, we are getting a ruination of the commodity space. Now, you know, you might say, well, not a big deal to me, right? Well, let me tell you something. It's a huge ordeal because once again, what we're seeing is the overall market system failing. Okay. That is what we have here. Okay. You have a system and a setup that is so screwed up. You have a market master, okay, that has no idea what's going on. And it's creating havoc throughout all of what we do. Okay, you've got a dollar that doesn't know if it wants to be strong or weak. You've got central bank intervention across the globe. You've got our central bank, the Federal Reserve, now talking about using the atomic bomb of investing, which is starting to buy actual asset classes. You know, I got to tell you, it's a screwed up system. It's a bad, bad ordeal what we're facing here because of the way that it's being handled. Now, you know that here at the Bubba Show, we are big advocates of free markets and true price discovery. And when you have situations and you have an upheaval over companies like Mylan, again, I'm not agreeing with what they did or didn't do, but again, that is part of the free market system. So when you take all these things away and you reduce us to what they're trying to reduce us to, it leaves a system that really cripples everybody and doesn't help anybody. Okay, because if you look around the globe, okay, you will see that the average people, which are the drivers of every economy, we've said that many times here on the show, but the average people are getting screwed. Okay, they're getting lambasted with everything that they do. There is no way that they are making money, okay, at the whole deal here. It's a lack of jobs, a lack of growth, a lack of everything that we do that does not allow us to let the market system flow, which then stops the velocity of money. In other words, the money moving from pocket to pocket. It stops the flow of goods. It basically stops everything dead in its tracks. Now, you might say, well, it's good for me because maybe prices are a little cheaper, but our price is really cheaper. And that is something that you have to evaluate on your own. Is it better for you to have a system that is trying to be driven artificially where the people that make the decision continue to tell you that they're looking for inflation, okay, which doesn't exist, okay? That is something that, you know, if you look at it from a normal everyday standpoint, inflation is is running rampant from my perspective, okay? Because the goods and services I buy are more expensive today than they were before. Now, yes, oil has come down a little bit, but overall, I mean, my monthly expenses continue to go higher, and I have to look at that as my inflation. I don't know what you look at, but when I can continue to see my cost of goods and services going higher, I have to say, well, there is some inflation somewhere. And when we continue to deny that there's inflation, then that becomes a problem. Because, again, other than TV sets, refrigerators, and things like that, everything else is way up in price. And the problem is the people who sell the goods, they're not lowering their prices. We know that, you know, other than the gas stations, which we talked about, the main stores, they don't bring their prices down. They just hold them until the next time they say, oh, well, we got to raise prices again. We know that the cost of you're getting your car fixed is going up. So everything that we see is going up. Yet, at the end of the day, here we are with, a bad job, a bad economy, no growth, no capital spending. And yet they're telling me that we're doing well. Now, I don't know. I find it hard to believe that we're doing well when I have all that statistical information in front of me. Now, that is information that the Federal Reserve doesn't pass on to you. But be that as it may, we've had a lot of chatter about should there be a rate increase. And I say 100%, let's get them going. Let's let the stock market collapse. Because think about it, okay? It's not doing anybody any good. And there's so many people that don't want to be in that market to begin with. That why should we continue to worry about one asset class around the world where the majority of people don't even participate? Okay, that is the bigger problem. Okay, is that, you know, other than maybe your 401k or some other small investments, the bulk of people are not even invested that much in the stock market. But the truth would be known. Okay, if we could actually get rid of the cloud hanging over the head of the market, known as the Federal Reserve, if we could get the cloud of Janet Yellen, the chief manipulator, away from the market, we might actually see free markets and true price discovery. Okay, and at the end of the day, the markets themselves will determine value. And until that happens, we are going to be in this rut of caca. A word from my kids when they were 5 years old. Okay. I mean, it's nonsensical to think that we would actually borrow our way out or spend our way out of this malaise that we're in, because it just doesn't work that way. I mean, this is what you have to think about as an investor, as a trader, as a citizen, as a worker. What they do doesn't work. We all know that artificial growth is not real growth. And until we get real growth, we ain't getting real jobs. So unless you want an imaginary job, okay, and an imaginary salary, then you're probably not too thrilled with the system as it's working today. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Starting tomorrow, we've got a new futures class starting. In case anybody's interested, learn how to day trade futures part-time with me, Bubba. In the meantime, when you miss an episode, libertytalk.fm will bring you a download of the show every day, as well as a Sporting Edge. I'm going to step out here for a break, and I will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Be right back. Welcome back. Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Come alive, come alive. It's the Bubba Show. Anyways, welcome back, everybody. And I don't know, I'm just singing along today. And I guess the depression is kicking in. And, you know, I'm tired of looking at all this gibberish and crap. And, you know, I tell you, I don't know. I don't know about you, but I get on a daily basis 4 or 5 emails telling me that the world is coming to an end. The stock market is going to collapse. The world is going to collapse. I'm going to have no need. I'm going to have to go buy all gold. I'm going to have to take all my retirement money and put it in gold. And I'm going to have to do this, that, and the other thing. And then I've got all these other people telling me how the world itself is ending and trying to, of course, sell me something. And the world is ending. Now, by a show of hands, who thinks the world is ending tomorrow? Okay. By a show of hands, how many of those so-called experts that tell you that the world is coming in actually have their own money involved in that prediction? Now, you know, again, I laugh because, you know, one of the things about me personally is, A, I never call the world to an end. I say that the market's looking for a sell-off, but I would not predict the end of the world. I'm not predicting Dow 6,000 or Dow 2,000 or Dow 10,000. Right now, I'm looking for S&P 1562, I believe. Okay, and obviously we're at 2,200, so I guess we're not right now. We're looking for about a 30% sell-off, which I think is probably accurate. When it's going to come, how fast is it going to be? I couldn't tell you. I wouldn't even try to tell you, because before it gets there's probably 50 levels in which the markets will pause. I don't believe in the end of the world. Okay, I don't believe that, you know, anything goes in a straight line. I believe that you have to be prepared for everything, but also while you're preparing for potential doomsday, which again I do not predict. You have to be prepared to make money while it's going in the other direction, or while we're in this case, we're going up. I think that a lot of people get trapped into these stories and actually believe in what they hear from, you know, somebody we deem as a potential expert. I think that becomes a bigger mistake for the average person. I think that, you know, before you make any decision, I suggest that you evaluate and take a look for yourself. Take a look under the hood, kick the tires, because I'm going to tell you something, okay? Nobody can make a ridiculous prediction and expect to be right. But if you market it correctly and you sell it correctly, then you might find yourself getting some customers. Okay, because people will believe. Okay, and you know, and I'm not telling you that you should never believe anything, but I'm telling you, my friends, that you need to look and evaluate the story and make sure that your conclusion is one that matches. And then if you want to make a small investment, I could live with that. I can't buy the end of the world. I can't buy that story. It doesn't. It's not logical. It never has happened before. And if it happens this time, then guess what? We probably have a bigger problem. Again, the market system we talked about kind of in the beginning here, it works, and it works well when given to its own devices. Okay, the ability to predict. You know, somebody sent me an email the other day. Gold 5 or 10,000. Okay, really? How about if it gets over 1,900 first? How about if it can get over 1,350 first? Okay. These are things that I find disturbing, number one. Number two, I feel bad because a lot of people do get trapped into the believing that these things could actually happen. But what nobody tells you is what happens in between. You know, back in the old days, before they had cable TV, in Chicago, they had a channel called WCIU Channel 26. It was on a 15-minute delay, okay? And there was a gentleman by the name of Richard Ney. Okay, and every day at 3:15 Chicago time on WCIU would be this 15-minute, I don't know, infomercial almost or whatever. Whatever, I don't even know how the hell it was. I don't remember all of it. But Mr. Ney would drive up in his Rolls Royce and go into his mansion and tell you that the world was coming to an end. Now, I started watching that show when the Dow was about 900. Okay. Well, let's see. Now the Dow is 18,000. I guess we didn't end. Okay. So my point is that don't get yourself involved in the crud, in the crap, in the BS that is spewed out there. Take the time to look at a market, look at the footprint, and keep your opinion out, because our opinions are often brought to us by other people. Okay, you listen, you watch, you read, and of course you listen to me and you hear some bad thing and you go, maybe they're right. And I say, look, I am definitely going to be right, but the objective here is to stay in business so that you can afford to be right when the move comes. I am trading now myself as small as I've ever traded because there's not a lot to do. So why would I want to get overly involved in a market that does not have a ton of things going on? And that is something that you have to recognize, okay, about how markets work, is that nobody can tell you the exact. And that's why I laugh. Which is why the motto or the mantra for the Bubba Show is, if somebody recommends it, we want to fade them. We want to go the opposite. So when analysts upgrade something, we want to be sellers. When analysts downgrade, we want to be buyers. Why? Because they make ridiculous calls. It was very similar to the call we heard, when gold was 1900. Oh, 4,000, 5,000, easy. Well, we haven't seen 1900 in 5 years. So you have to evaluate, look at what you see, and then make an educated, logical decision about what you're seeing, and then sit back, reevaluate, and look again. Okay? Because, again, there is no way to tell, A, what the news is going to be, and B, how the market is going to react to that news. Okay? It's very important that you understand that there is a lot of stuff out there, and unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there trying to clip you and separate you from your cash. Okay? On the inside information, we've all seen it, from the gambling joints that recommend things to the to everything else. Okay, we get involved with all these things, and at the end of the day, what do they bring us? Okay, they bring us heartache. Okay, they don't bring us anything but heartache, and that is what we are seeing is a bunch of crap. That if you aren't smart about it, okay, then you're going to cause yourself some pain and some suffering, because at the end of the day, okay, it always comes back to the market footprint. It comes back to what the traders are feeling about the market and the investors, because the humans' emotions drive the markets, not the analyst, not the fundamentals, okay? But human emotion drives the market. And until we all realize that, and until we are all settled at that, we will continue to fall for these ridiculous stories like 5 or 6 years ago, the dollar will no longer be the reserve currency. There's just obviously every day there's something new. And I warn you, my friends, here at the Bubba Show, not to fall in the trap. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure when you miss an episode, and how dare you miss an episode of The Bubba Show, but when you do, LibertyTalk.fm will get you the download of not only The Bubba Show, but The Sporting Edge. In the meantime, we're going to step out here for a break, and we will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. This Tuesday edition, August 30th. Jesus, you're flying by like crazy. What the hell's going on here? It's a time. Where does it go? You know, it's amazing. The older you get, the faster time goes. I don't know. I'm getting nervous. I'm getting near the finish line. But, so, in our ever-ending need to help everybody out and make sure that you understand how the markets function, what's going on. Let's talk about the jobs. Now, Friday, we have the monthly jobs number, and of course, everybody's pointing to this number as the biggest jobs number in a long time. And the Fed is going to raise rates, depending on the number. But let's talk, does the number really mean anything to any of us? Okay. Now, unless you're involved in the market at some point, the number means nothing because, I mean, after all, what's it going to do? If you're working, you're happy. Well, maybe you're not happy. Maybe you got a crappy job. But if you're working, you're happy. If you're not working, you're unhappy. Okay? And what does a job number mean to you as an individual? Nothing, probably. Okay? Now, the problem with the jobs number is it's a bunch of crap. It's a bunch of BS that is kind of spewed out there from people, okay, that kind of try to manipulate or fudge that number and make it look better than it is when, let's face it, less people are working today than were working 40 years ago, okay? The participation rate is lower than 40 years ago. The jobs, the money being paid out, I would venture to say, is probably less today than 5 years ago. And if you consider that, you know, according to the government, according to our president, Mr. Obama, we've created 10 million jobs since he's been in office. Well, I would like to say that the jobs we lost while he was in office paid more than the jobs that we gained. Okay, I'm saying probably the 3 million that got laid off probably made more than the 10 million that got hired. Okay. They talk about the actual movement of, they call it the jolt number, where people are willing to quit their job. I don't know. I don't know anybody who's such in a hurry to quit their job, because I don't see that there's a lot of jobs out there, with the exception of if you want to work, you know, in a service job. I mean, those guys will quit because they're always trying to go for where the money's at. You know, if you're working in a service jobs, a lot of those jobs are, you know, built on tips and things like that. So now, okay, back to my original question, okay, what does the jobs number mean? Okay, I don't think it means anything. I think that it's going to be another number that'll be basically artificial. Okay, and what I mean by artificial is that it's not going to have a lot of meaning, and the interpretation of it will be interesting. But I don't think that as far as where we are in the economy, I mean, in my opinion, the economy sucks. Okay, in my opinion, we have a lot of problems. And I think one of the things that indicates that there's a lot of problem is you continue to have violence. Violence doesn't happen as much when times are good. Okay. Violence happens when people aren't working, when people aren't making money. They're all getting in trouble. So in my eyes, the number will mean nothing except for to the bond markets and the stock markets about, you know, and the currency markets about what may happen. But we already know that Janet Yellen and the Fed is not going to raise rates, especially before the election. I mean, they don't want Donald Trump to win. And if they raise rates before the election and we do get a sell-off, and I'm not guaranteed it would be a sell-off. You would think so. But I'm not telling you that it will guarantee a sell-off. But if you get the sell-off, okay, then that would lead or lean towards Donald Trump getting in the office, which, again, many of them don't want him in the office. So, you know, how can we assume that there'll be an increase before the election? I mean, I don't know that there'll be an increase this year. I wish there would be. I think that, you know, we've gone way over the line as to where we should be. But so we look at this number, and it's going to come out, and it'll be, let's say they're expecting 180 new jobs. I mean, that's not a very good print. When you look at the size of the workforce, 180,000 new jobs is not exactly very exciting, okay? And I'm tired of the excitement created around these numbers of how good they want you to think that is. You know, again, I'm an old timer, and I go back to job prints of 500,000, 600,000, 700,000. Now, this might be a bump because I think the teachers are back on the roll again. There's a whole bunch of factors, and that's the other problem with the numbers that we get. There's always an adjustment coming later. So if it's really bad, you can figure they'll probably adjust higher. And if it's really good, they'll probably adjust lower. But I think the bottom line of an economy and how good it's doing is how many goods and services are we selling? How many people are making a good living? How many people are living better today than they were living 10 years ago? And I would have to say that probably the average is less. And I think that becomes the bigger problem, okay? There's less people that are living the standard that they were living years ago, okay? So now tell me how important the number is. Again, I give it from a average person's view, I give it no value. I give it no meaning, okay? Because when you look at a real person on the street, okay, where is the value coming from? What does it mean to me? Okay. So, you know, Mr. and Mrs. John Smith, what do they care? Okay. They're either happy and working and making money, or they've got money, or they're unhappy and they're not working. So at the end of the day, where are they going to go to get their lives in better shape? And I think that becomes the bigger story here, is they don't mean anything. Okay, nothing, no number that really comes out. When they come out and tell you that confidence is better, does it make you feel better? Okay. I mean, when they come out and tell you that, you know, manufacturing is picking up or GDP is picking up, does it make you feel better? I mean, you know, knowing what I know, I think most people care about their own environment first. They then care about their family, and, you know, the circle kind of gets wider. But I don't know anybody that really knows. I don't know 10 people that know what GDP is, okay? I don't know that 10 people know. And again, there's nothing wrong with not knowing, okay? But, I mean, if you don't know what it is, what does it mean to you? And that's, I think, the problem is we become so ingrained with these ridiculous reports and numbers and, you know, consumer confidence, the Michigan sentiment, Chicago PMI, on and on and on and on. What do they mean, okay? Because they're interviewing 5,000 people that are gainfully employed for the Michigan Sentiment, so they're happier. Okay, you know, everybody was happy. I mean, if you go back to 1929, okay, Andrew Mellon, the high tide of prosperity, will carry us through. Well, we know what happened there, okay? Any time along, okay, you can tell your from your own life how things are going, okay? It starts with you, and it goes to your circle of friends, your circle of family. And if they're not doing, if you're not doing well and your family's not doing well, then the economy has probably been very good. And at least your economy isn't pretty good. If we look around and we see that everybody's doing well except me, well, maybe I have a problem. But I can assure you from my travels and my willingness to talk to everybody and see what's going on the street, so to speak, that, you know, most people are not very happy. Okay, certainly in my industry, the trading industry, they're all miserable. Okay, there's nobody making any real money in the trading business anymore. There isn't much trade right now. Okay, so you have to learn new strategies because the markets have changed in the way that they do business. But not only that, but they've put out of business all of these like, for example, down at the Chicago Board of Trade, all the restaurants out of business. Why? Because they used to have 200,000 people there. Now they got 20. Can't support them all. All the parking lots. Okay. You know, from one thing to another, you know, nobody realizes the chain of events that occurs when you destroy something. And to me, there you have it. Okay. That is the bigger problem, is that we are on a path of destruction, not a path of prosperity, because everything we do is meant to seek and destroy. And how do you think companies like Amazon? Now, I'm not against capitalism. You know that. I'm all for it. OK, but companies like Amazon, OK, they're taking over the world. Why? Because they keep getting money. They keep putting everybody out of business. Now, is that the business model that we, the United States of America, want to live by, where banks become so big, companies become so big? I mean, think about it. Think about the last time you saw a successful mom and pop, you know, a 7-Eleven type of store. There isn't many around anymore because they've all been put out of business by the big guys. That's put the economy in jeopardy. Think about that, okay? Think about, you know, The price wars that we can't compete with because we don't get the same deals that these guys get. In the meantime, I got more on this topic. We're going to step out of here for a break after we tell you to go to libertytalk.fm and download The Bubba Show. Don't forget, I need you. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm going to step out for a break, and I will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. After 10, welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And you know, we were talking you know, before the break and about the big guys and the big banks. And how many, you know, by a show of hands, I can see you. Okay. How many of you think that, you know, big banks and too big to fail was good for us? Okay. Too big to fail. Anybody like the too big to fail? You know, well, but that's what we're creating now, okay? Because you're weeding out, through the course, you're weeding out small business. Okay, Walmart and Amazon have taken care of almost the entire retail space. I mean, Amazon sells everything, okay? I mean, I don't know. I'm sure soon they'll start selling Viagra. And they'll have a drone drop it off just in case you need it in an emergency, okay? I mean, yeah, you know, pretty soon there'll be no need for anybody. So, you know, is the too big? You know, it goes back to, you know, even like the family farmer, okay? The family business, okay? You know, how many family businesses do we still see operating? Okay, and I'm not talking about, you know, big ones. I mean, there's some around here, you know, you got 1,000 employees. That's not a family business. I'm talking about the families that run out, go to work their ass off, you know, working 24 hours a day, trying to, you know, get business, you know, whether it's a small restaurant or a small retail, how many independents are left? And to me, that's a tragedy. Okay. Without independents, okay, who's going to compete with the big guy? Right? Here, we talked about this last week, but let's bring it back, because let's put it in comparison. The EpiPen. Okay. Well, there was some competition. EpiPen put him out of business, Mylan. Okay. Because there wasn't enough money for the other guys. Well, who's gonna keep the reins on these big guys when all the competition is gone? You know, I can tell you this from a factual experience. I don't know about Amazon, but I do know about Walmart. And I know that Walmart doesn't need any vendors. They have enough money to manufacture their own products. Okay? But what they do is take vendors on. They ruin people's lives because, you know, everybody wants to get in bed with Walmart. I mean, God forbid you get a company like that, they can make you rich. Well, they don't make you rich. They make you poor. Because what do? They're not buying your product. They're buying your money. Okay? They're buying your cost to carry. Okay? Now, you know, interest rates are basically zero, so it's not a heck of a huge ordeal for them anymore. But when interest rates are higher, it is a bigger ordeal. But really, what they're doing is they're borrowing your paper. That's all. They're not. They don't care about your product. What do you think? They can't go make, the widget that you sold them. They can make it cheaper than you, and they can buy it for less than you. But in the meantime, the difference in the ability to carry money and paper allows them to continue to grow. In the meantime, putting, you know, Ace Hardware, owned by an individual, you know, obviously Ace Hardware is a chain, but taking the little guy who owns the family hardware store and putting him out of business. Because who can compete with Walmart? Okay? Who can compete with any of these big companies? You know, you go into these, they sell everything. Okay? You know, I bought the other day, I won't put the name of the company, but they had a special. Okay? I bought power strips, you know, for my new office for $3 a piece. Now, you tell me, I think they cost more than $3. I have no idea, but there's no independent that can sell them at that price. Okay? So, you know, where do you draw the line? Where does it become, you know, that too big is just too goddamn big? Okay? That's the problem. Okay? And I'm not saying you have to limit people. I mean, you should let them grow, but you can't eliminate competition. Competition is what keeps everybody honest. Competition is what keeps everybody in the game. Which goes back, Jesus, amazing how we went full circle back to the price discovery model. See, that's the problem. When you manipulate everything out, you've taken away the ability for anybody to succeed. Okay? You know, any small guy, small builder. Okay? He can't compete with the big guys because he can't work on the same cost. Because he's not hiring 17 foremen and getting all this cheap money. You know, you look at it from a standpoint of how are we going to succeed to the next level? And by eliminating a small business, to me, now this is my opinion. This is not fact. This is my opinion. But by eliminating a small guy, you've totally destroyed not only that industry, you've destroyed jobs. You've destroyed good paying jobs. You know, when I owned businesses in the past, because I've always owned something besides, you know, trading, you know, I paid good. Okay. But when they continue to try to wipe me out, you know, because I wasn't, you know, I didn't have a huge company, and you have people trying to wipe you out, it's hard to compete. So the competition wipes you out, and then, of course, they can be free to raise their prices. You know, we've had price scandals before. We had price fixing before. I think it was Archer Daniels Midland, I think, at one time. And I'm not sure. I'm not committing to that name. But at one time, they had a price fixing in vitamins. Okay? Now, again, the reason that they try to eliminate monopolies is to create fair and equal trade. But we don't get fair and equal trade because the whole system is not fair and equal. Starting right at the top with the banking system. Okay? Big banks have a much bigger advantage to the little bank. Now, fortunately for a lot of little banks, they get bought out. But from the amount they pay to insure and percentage, you know, that FDIC, to everything that they can do, the little guys have no shot. And if the big guys want to put them out, which they do on a regular basis, they get screwed. Okay? So you can start anywhere you want in this business, but at the end of the day, without true competition, you know, it's, you know, the gas station business. Everywhere you see a gas station, typically you see one across the street, right? That's what keeps the market honest. So if we're going to put everybody out of business, how are we going to keep the markets honest? You know, if we end up with just Shell and BP, and I'm just using those two names, I don't care one way or the other. Well, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to have a meeting and say, hey, we can charge more now. We can make bigger profits because there's only two of us. I mean, that's the problem of the airline business. That's why you're paying ridiculous fares right now for airline tickets, because there's only a couple of them. Okay? The small guys don't have a chance. They can't get the, what are they called? Losing my mind. They can't get the hangars. They can't get the the gates. So, of course, they're going to screw you. So when you take away real competition, you take away everything that we worked for in this country, okay? And that becomes, you know, the bigger ordeal is competition breeds better product. It breeds more ingenuity. It breeds better jobs. It's better for everybody. But, of course, when your whole life is to put everybody out of business, you don't care about that, okay? And you would think that if the company was really good, they would welcome the competition. It brings more to everybody. You know, I mentioned the gas stations. Remember, when McDonald's first started becoming big, who opened up across the street? Burger King. Why? Because Burger King knew that McDonald's had already done all the work and scouted out the right demographics. That's what makes the market. Then you find out who can really succeed by true competition. You know, in everything we have, life is a competition. And when you outlaw and you make it too hard for people to compete, you ruin everything. Okay? And that was always everybody's complaint, even in sports, the big major markets. Well, you know what's funny? Even in the major markets, just because they got more money doesn't make them win all the time. And to me, this is what we have to look forward to. That's why we need more of the free market environment. We need competition. We need the banks to create that competition model to have people come back in to be competitive. Okay? That is the whole deal, okay, is to be competitive. Competition breeds success, and that's the way it should be, because if you got to keep up with your competition, it makes you better. Anyways, that was my daily rip on everything. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And again, make sure when you miss an episode, libertytalk.fm. Tomorrow night, I am starting a new futures course. If anybody's interested, it's how to trade futures part-time. Pretty reasonable. Check it out at bubbatrading.com. If not, we'll see you back here tomorrow. Anyways, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Everybody have a great day. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you tomorrow.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.